All right, well, the goal tonight is simple, and I just prayed it. Put this prayer back together. Because we've gotten very detailed, haven't we? 13 studies through the Lord's Prayer. And so it's good. I think it's necessary to tear things apart because you need to see detail. But it's also necessary at the end to put it all back together again so that you know how it all fits in. I think the saying, losing the forest for the trees, and I think that's possible where you can so concentrate on a tree that you lose the thought of the big picture in the forest. I think that's what that saying means. Maybe wrong, but I think that's it. So we're going to try to reconstruct what we deconstructed through these last 13 weeks. And we're going to do a quick review. Then I want to show you how I use this. See if that will help you. But I, like I've said, I've been using this for 20-something years now, this Lord's Prayer and the method and how it guides you. And it's been just a blessing. And what I have noticed about this is I don't always use it, but I have noticed that whenever I get off track with my prayer life, I always come back to this. Because sometimes when you're off track, you're kind of confused. And this is a guideline that's very easy to get back on track with. And so this always gets me back on track in my prayer life. So what we've seen so far, we saw this prayer is only for believers, those who can call God their Father. It is a prayer that Jesus gave his disciples. They came up and said, teach us how to pray like that. And so Jesus gives this prayer to help them in their prayer life. I mean, this is exciting to me. When I think about this, is Jesus himself was discipling them, and he was saying, this is how you pray. This is how I pray. And so it's exciting to see that this prayer can move you, when you start using it correctly, move you beyond frustration into a real rich, satisfying prayer life. It's a model that's meant to teach the art of prayer, we could say. Take away the frustration. Take away the whole thing. I don't know what to say in prayer. I mean, I pray, and 5 minutes later, I'm done. You know, I hear these guys say they pray for an hour. I could never pray for an hour. I don't have an hour's worth of prayer material. You will if you understand this, but you can also pray 10 minutes through this. But if you have the time to pray for an hour, this model will give you plenty to pray for an hour. What do I mean when I say model prayer? Well, each petition, look at it as an outline. Each petition is a heading that guides us into the areas we should be praying about. It's not to simply take these few verses and memorize them and then recite them mindlessly. That's not going to do you any good. But what this is going to do is lead you into what you should be praying about. What a full-rounded, well-rounded prayer life looks like. We saw that it's an instructional prayer. It teaches us what to pray for and how to pray for it. It teaches us that the atmosphere of prayer is warm, intimate, and reverent. It teaches us that the priority of prayer is God-centered. It's a God-saturated prayer. We're praying for His glory before we pray for our needs. We're hallowing His name and surrendering to His will. It corrects our relationships. It confronts us every day as we pray through it about things like bitterness and grudges so that we forgive others who have done something against us. So it's that. I mean, I love that part of it. It reminds us of how God-dependent we are. I'm dependent for what? For my daily necessities. I'm dependent for daily pardon. I'm dependent for daily protection spiritually. So let me give you three miscellaneous thoughts on the way we approach this prayer. First one is be creative. This model I'm providing is just a suggestion how I use this. Listen, I'm telling you what has worked for me for 20 years, but I'm not saying this is how you should do it. Feel free to change it in any way you desire. It's just what's worked for me. And you'll find out as you use it, it'll morph into what works for you. So be creative. Be careful. Don't turn this prayer into a cold ritualistic duty through legalism. I mean, I think when we go through this and we tear this apart and get so detailed, it can sound like, oh man, now I've got to do all that and I've got to spend this much time in prayer. Don't do that to yourself. Listen, like I said, I've used this for many years. It's a tremendous help, but I don't always use it. There will be times I wake up where there's maybe something so burdened on my heart that I just go right to that. And so I'd skip this altogether. I get right to it, get right to what's burning in my heart. I may pray in other ways for a little while, then return to this. Again, like I said, if my prayer life has slipped, I always return to this though. And so don't get legalistic. This is not something where I've got to do this every morning. No, you don't. You may pray in a completely different way some mornings and then return to this. This is a tool. It's not a rule to put a burden into your life, but it is a tool to help your prayer life in a great way. Then be flexible. There are days when I get through every section of this prayer, using the outline, the model. There are days when I only get through a few sections, where there is a section that really, all of a sudden, my heart's kind of, it ignites my heart in that area, and I spend a lot of time there, and then I move on. And like today, for some reason, when I was praying through this, today the whole thought of God being my Father, and I spent probably the majority right there and never got past it, because it was so amazing to me as I started reflecting on my life and who I am, but who He is, the grace that He has shown me, the future, the guaranteed future, because He's got a hold of me, just how loved I am. And it was hard for me to get beyond that. I did go beyond a little bit more, and everything else was kind of quick. But today it was just, He's my Father, and I'm just going to glory in that. And so I just sat there and just kind of soaked it in. I am loved. I'm His kid. He's my Father. How great is this? And so, to me, if I had not got to any other section of this prayer, who cares? That was awesome. Now, tomorrow I might get to that, since I kind of spent so much time on fatherhood today. Tomorrow I might get there and say, you know what? I kind of thought about it all yesterday and spend just a few seconds reminding myself that He's my Father. Then I might get caught up in another part of this prayer and spend the time there. So listen, be flexible. Don't be legalistic. It's a tool, not a rule. It's meant for your good, to help you, not to burden you. Sometimes, again, being flexible, sometimes I pray, you know what, and I'm done praying after 15 minutes. This morning I prayed for probably an hour and a half. But when I get up after 15 minutes and say, done, I don't walk away feeling guilty or condemned. It's a relationship. I enjoyed God for 15 minutes. Now I go into my day and praise God. I don't really worry about it. I used to have that thing when I was a young Christian. Did you? Oh, I've got to pray for an hour a day, or I've got to pray for this much. And if I didn't hit that stopwatch moment, I was condemned. I felt guilty. I don't feel guilty at all anymore. If it's 10 minutes or if it's 2 hours, when I walk away, I'm fine. Because that's what relationship is all about. I mean, if Carrie held me to a stopwatch and said, you know, you didn't talk with me for an hour, it was only 45 minutes, what is your problem? I'd say, I don't think that's what it's all about. You know, so we have freedom in this. It's to be free. It's a delight. It will be discipline when you first start out, but it's to move into delight. You're with your Father. So let's look at the tone of prayer, intimacy, and we're just, again, going through a review, so learning how to use this prayer. Matthew 6:9, pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So we see right there, prayer is intimate, warm, and loving. Intimate and warm because He is our Father. Reverential because He is our Father in heaven. So we start off reminding ourselves who we're going to. I am going to one who loves me, who is head over heels in love with me. He loves to be with me. He loves to provide for me, and He loves to bless me. That's who I'm going to. I start my prayer off reminding myself, this is not a harsh, austere God who's like, what are you doing here? And what, are you going to ask for something again? He loves to bless. He loves to answer prayer. Listen, when He answers prayer in your life, it glorifies His Son. And so He loves to answer prayer. So I start off reminding myself who I'm going to. Remind myself that this is supposed to be intimate and warm. And here's one of my prayers that I pray a lot. I pray, God, I pray that I would really learn to experience the truth that I'm your child, that I would experience childhood, that I would move away from all of these rules and regulations that are imposed on Christianity, this legalism, and that I would truly delight in and enjoy being your child. Isn't that what He wants for us? Galatians 4:6 says this, because you are sons, what has God done? Because you are sons, or because you are daughters, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Get that? The Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So God says, because you're a son or because you're a daughter, I am going to put my Spirit in your heart. And what the Spirit is going to do in your heart is He is going to create this cry of intimacy, Abba, Father. And so I look at that and I say, God, that's what you want. You want this beautiful relationship, this loving, intimate, warm relationship. You want me to thrill in the fact that I'm your child. And that's why you've given me the Spirit. And so I pray, Lord, don't let me fall into legalism. Help me to really enjoy being your child. Today, I want to enjoy being your son. I pray that all the time. So I just take a few moments at the beginning to think this through. It's so helpful. Then I remind myself, prayer is reverential. He is our Father in heaven. There's to be a reverence in prayer. He is the God who controls all things. He is God Almighty, not God Almighty. He is not that old man upstairs. He is God Almighty. My Father, who is God Almighty. And so there's a reverence there also. Let's look at the priority of prayer. It is God's honor. Here's the priority of prayer. This is why we are going to prayer. First of all, it is to bring God honor. Look at Matthew 6:9 again. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Before we ask anything for ourselves, we're asking something for God. God, I want to see you exalted. I want you to be glorified. Now, I break this up into two sections, reflection and petition. And in the reflection, remember we went through the names of God? This is where I put that in. Hallowed be your name. And so I'll go through each day, I'll go through a different name. And I just concentrate, I meditate on what that name means. And it brings such a magnified view of his majesty and who he is. I learn who he is through his name. God, you said you're the shepherd. And so if you're my shepherd, you have taken on the responsibility to guide me and to provide for me, to care for me, or you wouldn't call yourself shepherd. I mean, I love the name, God is our shepherd. So I spend a few minutes just reflecting on whatever name I'm reflecting on that day that glorifies him, that magnifies him in my thinking, gives me confidence of who I'm going to as I pray. And listen, all of those are on the tape. So if you are tapes, wow. we have 4-track tapes available. All of those are on the CDs. All right. I know we fell a little bit behind on the internet. Right now we're caught up. We've been caught up for the last couple of weeks completely on the internet. So everything's up there. It's always 1 week behind and that's all. And so I reflect on those names. I would suggest going back through those because that changed my prayer life, going back through those names again. Then there's a part of petition here that I always go through, asking God that he would so work that he would be honored and revered and adored in our thinking, our affections, and our actions. Hallow your name, Lord. Be adored. Be revered in everything we do and in the way we think and the way we live. And what I do is I divide this up into smaller sections each day. Now, you can do this however you want. Here's how I do it, because I would be praying forever if I didn't do this. Monday, my reflection. Every Monday, I reflect on his name reveals he is holy. So that Monday, I'm going to spend a few minutes reflecting on his holiness, who he is. Then I moved to the petition in this hallowed be your name, and I pray for my immediate family, that God would move in Carrie, Taylor, and my life so that his name would be honored and treasured in our thinking, our affections, and our actions, that he would be our treasure and our master passion. So every Monday, I'm praying for my immediate family for these things. Tuesday, I reflect that his name reveals he is righteous, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And so I reflect on that. He is righteous. And what does that mean? Then I think about how I'm righteous before him because of the gospel and all of those kind of things, how his righteousness flows into my life and my account, and that's why I can stand before him. Then the petition would be that God would hallow his name in my extended family. I pray for my brothers and sisters and my extended family at that point. Wednesday, the reflection is his name reveals he is my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi. Then the petition is that God would hallow his name in my friends I'm praying for. I've got people I'm praying for. I've got a list. And then the prodigals. I'll pray here for the prodigals that I'm praying for in the church and different members and all that. So this is where I put that. I'm praying that God would move in their life in such a way, either through salvation or through sanctification. But however is necessary, that God will move in their life so that their life begins to bring him greater glory. Now, that's just a sample. I could go through the whole week. I don't want to spend time doing that. You fill in the gaps for your own prayer life and customize it however you want. Again, the sermons are online to give you the names of God. You can get that. But just fill in the gaps however you want to, if you want to try it this way. You know, I'll pray for things like the church. One day I pray for the church, the leadership. You know, worship, all the things of the church I'm praying for, that God would be exalted in our prayer meetings and in all of the meetings. I go through the church calendar every week, and I look at it, and I pray for each one of those meetings. God, glorify yourself in this. Then this is my country. The Lord says in Timothy, what did he say? Pray for the king, didn't he? And so my king, on an earthly sense, is President Obama. And so I am commanded to pray for him. And so I'm praying that God honor yourself in the White House. Glorify yourself there. Turn his heart towards you. Turn the Congress and the government in Lake Forest, the mayor and all that, Lord, turn their hearts towards you so that this city would glorify you. And so I've got all these things I'm praying for. Like I said, you know, sometimes I don't get through them all. But listen, if you think you have nothing to pray for, you do. And I always end my prayer time with miscellaneous prayer, things that are just on my heart. And so bring that before the Lord, you know, the youth group meetings and all that and those kind of things. So let's move on to the attitude of prayer. That's submission. Look at verse 10. So we've got the priority of prayer is God's glory. That's why we're praying, the primary reason we're praying. And then submission is the attitude of prayer. We're coming to submit. We're coming to surrender. Look at verse 10. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So before there is prayer for provision, there is prayer for submission. Jesus said in Matthew about provision, he said, seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things, your daily necessities, then all these things will be added to you. So make sure you're seeking him first, and then you rest in him that he's going to add everything else. But this keeps us in a place, when I'm thinking about this, this whole thought of surrender here, it keeps me in a place daily where I have to check my life and say, Lord, am I surrendered to you? Where I can be in a place where I can be blessed. Listen, there's an old saying, get under the spout where the glory comes out. In other words, keep your life in a place that God can bless. Don't let sin move you or carnality move you out of that place where God can't bless you. He's got to discipline you instead. So what we're asking here in this one, we're asking that God's rule be extended in the lives of the lost through salvation, and that his rule would be extended through the lives of the saved through sanctification. And if you notice, I spoke of that earlier in hallowing God's name. So I mix these two together. Whenever I'm praying, when I pray for my extended family, they're not all saved, and some of them are. My sister's saved in Alaska. And so what I'm praying for in that is I'll then mix this in. God, glorify yourself. God, bring a surrender into their life for your glory. Those who aren't saved, Lord, I pray you'd save them. Those who are saved, my sister in Alaska, I pray that you would move her heart, Lord, in sanctification so that she surrenders in a greater way. You know, as I pray for our immediate family, praise God, you know, my immediate family is saved. And so what I'm praying for Carrie and Taylor as I mix this in and praying for myself, I'm praying for a full surrender. Lord, all in. I pray that we would give our lives to you completely, that we would hold nothing back. That you would be Lord of our lives, truly Lord of our lives, so that we would live in a way that would bring glory to you. So I'm mixing these two together. God, glorify your name. Lord, let us live in a way that hallows your name. And so I understand that I'm going to live in a way that hallows his name. If in my life, because I'm saved, that I give myself to that sanctification process and surrender to him. And so that he has his way with me. I'm not going to glorify him if I'm not doing that. And so I'm praying that for everything. I go through that whole list. When I get to the day where I'm praying for the church, then, Lord, I know there's people in our church that probably aren't saved. And so, Lord, if there is, I pray that you would speak to them. I pray you would speak to the people that hear the internet. And, Lord, I pray that we would see salvation here. And for those who know you, Lord, I pray that they would come to a place of full surrender, Lord. All in for you. And so I'm mixing all this together. I pray for my attitude of surrender every time I pray this prayer. This is one of my prayers that I never miss when I pray, that the Lord would bring me to a place of full surrender, fresh surrender that morning. Lord, because I understand that my surrender yesterday doesn't really do me much good today, that I wake up every day and make another choice. Is this day going to be given to you? Am I going to surrender to you? So I pray something like this, Lord, you are the sanctifier as revealed by your name, Jehovah Mekodishkim. I pray you would help me to come to this place of full surrender, holding nothing back from you. Help me to respond to your will here on earth like they do in heaven. That's what it says, doesn't it? Immediately, willfully, and joyfully. Lord, if there is anything in my life that would keep me from doing that, point it out so I can deal with it. Guys, I don't know about you, but I don't want nothing hindering my relationship with God. I want to soar. I want to be on fire for him. And so I want him to graciously, mercifully look at my life and say, Bill, that's not pleasing and you need to deal with this. Because if I don't deal with it, it's going to hold me back. And I'm trading in something of the world for some passion for him. And I think that's a lousy trade. It's a lousy exchange. And so I ask him, Lord, find it. Go on a search and destroy mission. And if there's anything there, Lord, find it. And help me come to a place of full surrender, that I'm surrendering to you on earth like they do in heaven. That's what this prayer does to you. It brings you to these places daily where you're checking your heart, where you're coming to a fresh surrender. How cool is that? I mean, how great is that? That it keeps sin, a short account of sin, where it doesn't have a chance to grip your heart, where you're saying, Lord, show me. Here I am, show me. And he can show you the beginnings of sin so that you're not a year from now dealing with sin that has taken root in your heart, where it's really hard to get rid of. So I just think this is so merciful. So the tone of prayer is intimacy, warmth, and reverence. I go to my Father who is in heaven. The priority of prayer is God's honor, his exaltation in my life, others around me, my church, my country. The attitude of prayer is submission. I'm reporting to the king for marching orders. I'm not taking my blueprint in and saying, God, I've really got a great plan here, and I need you to sign off on it. What I'm saying is, Lord, here I am, surrendered to you completely, and I want to sign off on your plan. Show me what it is. Here I am. Send me. Intimacy, reverence, submission. Then we have the dependence upon God in prayer. And I like this because it shows us every day we pray this, I'm reminded I'm absolutely dependent upon him. We pray for daily provision in verse 11. We pray for daily pardon, verse 12. We pray for daily protection from evil, verse 13. So let's look at that, our daily necessities. Now I've prayed for God's glory. God, this is what I want in my life. I want your glory. I want you to be exalted. I've surrendered to him in the sanctification process. Lord, I surrender to you so that my life can be that instrument that you can glorify yourself through. Now I come to my daily necessities after that. Matthew 6:11, give us this day our daily bread. Includes physical necessities such as food, clothing, finances. Would also include things we need that day for work or school. Mental alertness. I need mental alertness as I'm studying. I've said this before. Put yourself into a book for 8 hours in a day and you need mental alertness because you get brain dead. So I trust God for that. Then things we need in relationships. You know, there's things I need. God has told me to love my wife as Christ loved the church. That's beyond me. That is beyond me. So one of my regular prayers is, Lord, help me to be a good husband. Help me to be... My wife's all over this prayer. Help me to be a good husband. Help me to love my wife as you love the church. That's the command to me. And so, Lord, give me your love. And Lord, help me to love her as an act of worship. See, I think everything we do should be an act of worship, shouldn't it? Isn't that what Romans 12, 1 and 2 says? To present your life as a living sacrifice, this is your spiritual act of worship. And so everything in my life, I want to turn it into. I'm trying to. I'm not there yet. I know that. But I pray for this. Lord, help everything I do to be an act of worship. The way I love my wife, it's not just to love my wife, but it's to worship you and love you in the way I love my wife. In the way I treat others, let that be an act of worship to you. In all of my service, let it be done as an act of worship. This daily bread is whatever you need to live. It's whatever you need so that you can live in a way that honors God. God, I need that. It shows us that all of our necessities were absolutely dependent upon him. Then how about daily forgiveness? Matthew 6:12. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Look at verse 14 and 15. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this is to believers who call God Father. So it's not talking about judicial forgiveness where he says, I'm not going to forgive you in a saving way. These are people who call God Father. So they are saved. They are his children. He's saying the forgiveness that hinges upon you asking for forgiveness and the way you treat others and forgiving others is this parental forgiveness. It's that relational forgiveness. Because when you sin as a believer, there's still consequences, isn't there? And one of the consequences is it brings tension into your life with God. It steals your joy. It steals your assurance of salvation. And the way to clear that up, there's a few ways. I got three. Well, actually, two are together. But it's confession and repentance, isn't it? Asking him to forgive our sins, that's confession and repentance. And so what we do is confession. Confession simply means to agree with God. And so I go before God and I see something in my life that he's pointed out or something I know that I've done that's wrong. And so I admit, I agree, God, I confess this. You said this is wrong. I agree with that. This is wrong. I have sinned against you. And then we follow that up with repentance. I mean, it'd just be hypocrisy to say, I know this is a sin, but I'm still going to do it. So I admit it's sin, then I turn from it in repentance. Admit through confession, turn from it in repentance. But then it also goes on and says that forgiving others is necessary if we want him to forgive us. Verse 12 and 14 and 15 again says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So it says if we withhold forgiveness, so will God. Not salvation, but that parental forgiveness where we enjoy our salvation. I mean, we're still saved. We're still on the way to heaven. We just won't enjoy the journey. And so we've got to take care of that sin, those grudges and bitterness, if we want to enjoy the journey. And again, to me, do you see the mercy and grace here? Because I know my heart. I can hang on to grudges, and I can get bitter, but you know what? I am daily checked right here. And I've got to go through the sin in my life and say, God, is there sin that's holding me back? Lord, show it to me. And so short accounts are kept on sin, but also I have to ask him, Lord, is there any grudges or bitterness that's holding me back that I've got to deal with and forgive? And so he shows me that. This is so good, isn't it? It just keeps you in a place of spiritual health. Do you see the mercy and grace here daily being kept at a place where you can enjoy God, where sin is not having its way with you? So I am so grateful for this prayer. It has rescued me so many times as my heart started to grip on the sin or allow something into my life I shouldn't allow. And as I pray this and say, God, show me, and he's showing me. And I'm so grateful. This is Psalm 139, 23, and 24. I throw this prayer in here. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, search me. If there's anything there that's not pleasing to you, you point it out so that I can deal with it. You expose it so I can deal with it, so I can have spiritual health and soar in the spiritual life. I want to get rid of the ballast, the weights. Lord, if I've got weights in my life, I can't soar. And so, Lord, help me to see them. Help me to cut them away so I can soar with you. So much grace in that. Then the last one is for daily protection. Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is a prayer that flows out of understanding who God is and who we are. We saw this last week. I understand who God is. He's sovereign, isn't he? In control of absolutely everything. I also understand who I am. I am weak, and I fail in too many things. And so this is a reminder of how needy I am and how desperate I am for God's strength in my life. And what I'm asking him for in the first part of this prayer, I'm saying, God, I know you're in control of all things. So what I'm asking you is to control those things so I come into as little contact with temptation as possible. Could you do that for me, Lord? Because the best way to fight temptation is not to be around it. And so, Lord, I'll take that as much as I can get. Keep me away from temptation. Guide my life around it. But we also understand that complete deliverance from temptation is impossible. That's the second part of this prayer, deliver me from evil. When I do come into temptation, I'm asking to be delivered from the tempter. I'm asking, God, help me to turn to you quickly when temptation does come. God, help me to see your way out and take it. God, be very real to me at that moment of temptation. Speak to me. Help me to fight for personal holiness. God, I understand how dangerous that moment is, and I don't want to give in to sin. I know what a monster sin is. So, Lord, I'm praying that when temptation comes into my life, I'm praying that you'll be there, that you'll help me, that you'll turn my heart quickly, that you'll help me to choose holiness rather than that sin. So what we're asking him to do is we're asking him to guide our life away from temptation, but we're also asking him when temptation does come in, we're asking him to help us to do what is necessary to be delivered from that temptation. What it is and what I like about it is it's a prayer that casts ourselves upon him completely for victory, isn't it? We're seeing, Lord, if I am going to walk in personal holiness, which I need to do because, Lord, I've already prayed about you being glorified and reverenced in my life and being hallowed in my life. And so, Lord, that's my priority. That's what I want. And now I understand that to do that, I need to be involved in that sanctification and surrender process, which means I have to fight well against sin if I'm going to glorify you. I have to fight well against temptation. And so, Lord, here I am understanding for that to happen, I'm absolutely dependent upon you and your strength. Dependent upon him for everything, aren't we? And so this prayer at the end, after it gives us our priorities, it then moves us into absolute dependence. You're dependent upon him daily for your provision, dependent upon him daily for your forgiveness, and dependent upon him daily for your spiritual protection. So, what have we seen? A summary of what took us 13 weeks to get through. You guys are probably going, why didn't you just do that 13 weeks ago? Because we saw the atmosphere of prayer. It is warm, intimate. I go to one who loves me. It is reverent. He is the Father in heaven who is in charge of the whole universe. But that also shows me I go to one who wants to help me because he's my Father and can help me because he's in charge of the universe. Listen, the whole universe is your servant. When he wants to help you, he'll use it all. And you see that through the Bible, don't you? Where God will use his creation to help his people. God will use whatever it takes, and he can use whatever it takes. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? That God can use whatever he wants to help you in your needs. We've established the priority of prayer, his glory advanced. This is going to filter through the rest of our prayer. I won't ask for anything in daily bread that would dishonor him, would I? I want to be right with my fellow believers because that does honor him. And I want to fight well against temptation because how I live reflects on him. And so when I start off with, this is the priority of prayer to honor you, that is then going to flood down, filter down, trickle down into the rest of the prayer. I said I break this up into sections each day. And so you can handle that however you want to. We've established the attitude of prayer is submission to the King. I'm here to hear from you, to get your will done here on earth like it is in heaven. So move through me, Lord. Show me what you want. I'm not trying to get my will done. I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to hear what your will is. And I want to respond to that here on earth like they do in heaven. And I'm praying, what I'm praying for is greater submission through sanctification and for effective evangelism, salvation. Listen, individuals of the church should have God's heart for the lost. And so I'm asking you, as you pray through this, start to pray that when we go out to the day labors, when the message goes out over the air. You know, every time we do something at church here, pray that God would start saving people, that God would start using us to draw people in. Romania, how many opportunities are we going to have to evangelize in Romania? Pray for us, please. This is a team effort. We got sermon audio, Blue Letter Bible, and all that. Then at the end, we establish the idea of dependence in prayer. I'm dependent upon him for provision, pardon, and protection. And so what I would suggest is, it's all up online now. You can go download it. I know it's changed my life, and I pray that it will change your life too. Pray that you'd apply this, because it won't do anything if you don't use it. And so I do pray that you'll use it. Give it a shot and see what it can do in your life. It has blessed me for over 20 years. And so I pray it'll bless you too. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this model prayer that is so rich and deep. And I think it's one of those passages in Scripture that we could probably spend the rest of our life studying and probably never plumb the depths of it. But Lord, what an honor it is to see something that says, this is how you prayed. And then to follow in your footsteps and to pray like you did. So Lord, I pray that we would be a people who delight in prayer, that we wouldn't allow excuses to take what is the most important time in our life away. Lord, help us to be prayer warriors in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.